For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 24th, 1997. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise you, Lord. Let's all stand up. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just come before you now, Lord. We ask that your anointing fall. Whether it's the spirit that giveth life and the letter killeth, Lord God. Lord, it is a spirit that heals and delivers and the letter killeth, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your anointing to come forth now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That as your word goes forth, Lord, as this that you have had me speak this day, Lord, comes forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we can bring it forth, Lord, for your edification and for your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Today I'm going to talk to you about the sins of the fathers. That's a very complex subject, and I can only touch part of it today. The subject of curses. I had a very hard time with curses when I first came into deliverance. I had a hard time understanding them. I had an extensive background in the occult. But for some reason, I just had difficulty with understanding how curses worked. And that I knew they were real because I knew that you had to break them for deliverance. And I'd been in deliverance about 5 years. And I was praying one night and about curses. And I just said, Lord, give me an understanding. Just show me, Lord, what's happening with curses. And I found myself looking down in a room. And in that room was a small boy who looked very familiar to me. And there was a man standing over him who was intoxicated. And he was berating him. And he was saying, you stupid. And he used very colorful language. And he said, you're dumb. You don't amount to anything. You're worthless. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be worthwhile. And while this little boy was standing with his head bowed, a light, like a laser beam, just hit that kid. And I asked the person who was standing beside me, behind me, I said, what was that? And he said, that was a demon that the enemy dispensed to bring that curse to fruition. And I said, where does it say a father in the Bible that a father can curse his child? And he said, in Genesis 27, verses 10 to 12. And I said, that's the story of Isaac and Jacob. He said, that's right. And then God brought the scripture to memory. And he says, but mother, I am a smooth-skinned man. And if my father feels me and he feels that I am a deceiver, I shall bring on myself a curse and not a blessing. And I said, oh, the father can curse his child and the devil can bring it to fruition with a demon? That's right. And curses became very real to me. I won't go through the rest of it. I came down and I talked to Brother Glenn about it. I said, Brother Glenn, I had the strangest encounter. And I went through the whole vision with him. Brother Glenn said very quietly, and he didn't say very much. And he got through, he said, it's of God. And he opened it to you, and now you understand the same way he opened it to me. And curses became very real after that. About 3 months later, Derek Prince came out with a set of tapes. And he quoted all the scriptures on those tapes. I listened to the tapes, And I said, you know, Brother Prince has got the same revelation. And curses became real in my life. And today I'm going to speak to you about the sins of the fathers. Let's look first at Exodus chapter 34. Before we go into that, I have to tell you what a curse is. A curse is a spoken evil imprecation. It is something evil that is spoken out, and it hits the sound waves. It's not a thought. It is a spoken word. And it is something that is accepted on the other end, generally, unless there are lots of conditions. I should say that let's just leave it with it's a spoken evil implication. Okay? Now let's look at Exodus 34. And here we have, verse 5, we have Moses with the second set of stones going back up to the side of the mountain to get the Ten Commandments again. And it's in God descended in a cloud and passed before him. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now in Hebrew, when you proclaim something's name, you proclaim its nature. That is the Hebrew language. And if you read the Old Bible, the Old Testament, you'll find that people's names meant things. And the prophet was told to name his son, "These are no longer my people." But it had a name about that long in Hebrew that I can't pronounce. "These are no longer my people." Okay. Another one named her child, "The glory has departed." Ichabod. The glory has departed from Israel because the Ark of the Covenant was gone. Okay. Let's read him. "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin.'" Now the next verse, "by no means clearing the guilty." Now if you have a New International or a New American Standard, that is translated "by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation." Now it says that in Exodus 20:4-6. It says it's Numbers 14:18. It says it's in Jeremiah 32:18. It says it's in Deuteronomy 5. It says it's in Isaiah 65:7. It says it's in Amos 4:2, among others. And so it's quoted. That is the nature of God. That's God's nature, divine nature. And so if you don't break God's law. God's law is established forever. Jesus said that the Scripture cannot be broken. He quoted from Psalms and said the Scripture cannot be broken. You don't break God's law. God's law breaks you. Now, you can defy it, but that doesn't make any difference. It'll break you. You can defy the law of gravity. You can walk out of the third story of the wonder if you want. Third story wonder if you want to and defy the law. You're going to fall down and break your neck. It'll break you. And if you defy God's law, you will break you. And you say, "Well, I'm under grace. I'm not under the law." Well, Jesus said that this word would last forever. Amen. And he said, "Not one dot or tittle will pass away." That's a little period or comma, size of a comma, or a little curve on one of the letters. Will not pass away. So the written word of God will not pass away till all is fulfilled. Now, Romans says that the law, that Jesus was the end of the law as a means of obtaining righteousness before God. That you're righteous before God, your righteousness is in Jesus Christ. But it is not an end of the law as a code of conduct, as a guide to righteous living, and so forth. Now, if you walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. That's what Romans 8:2 says. Let's read that. Let's keep our finger in Exodus, and we'll go over here to Romans. I didn't mean to go this way, Lord, but you seem to be leading me a little differently. Romans 8:2, 8:4. But it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of life, of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. And He wouldn't have said that if it wasn't possible. And so, we have the curses of the fathers coming down on the sons for the third and the fourth generation. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's look at Deuteronomy 27. 28. It shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe all His commandments. I mean, obey His voice. This is written down. Well, it was given to the people of Israel, your ancestors. For if you be in Jesus Christ, you be the seed of Abraham. And it was given to the true seed of Abraham. And those that are of faith are children of Abraham. How many of y'all are of faith? You all of faith? You mean not some of y'all don't have faith? How many of y'all are children of faith?
Amen.
All who are children of faith are children of Abraham.
Amen.
Okay. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And so we look. The people were gathered together on Mount Obed and Mount Gizzard. Let's look at Deuteronomy 27, verse 11. And said, you shall stand on Mount Gizeh to bless the people when you crossed over Jordan. And he named some tribes. 13 said, and you shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse. And he named some more. And the Levites shall speak in a loud voice and say to all the people. And they read the law out, and these people said, so be it. Amen. He said, cursed be. And he had a whole list of curses. And you can go back to Exodus, and you'll find they read the whole law before them, and they said, so be it. So all of this was spoken to the people. And the people said, amen, so be it. And they accepted it. Your ancestors, the seed of Abraham, accepted these curses on your behalf. They were spoken out by the Levites, God's servants. They were spoken to Moses by God, written in the tablet of stone by the finger of God. Brought down, and then spoken to the people, and the people accepted them. Let's go back to verse Deuteronomy 7 now. And let's look at what he says is going to happen to you if you follow this. Verse 6 says you're going to be a holy people to the God. Verse 7 says he is... Let's see. Verse 8 says he delivered you out of bondage. Verse 9 says he's merciful and he'll keep these, he'll bless you for 1,000 generations. Verse 13 says he will love you and bless you and multiply you and bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land and your grain and your new wine and the oil and the increase of your cattle and your offspring and your flocks which he swore to give your father. Verse 14 says you shall be blessed above all people. There shall be no male or female barren among you or your livestock. He said, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. You walk in the Spirit, and sickness can't touch you. Now, there's one thing about getting healed. He said He'll heal you, but He said if you walk in the Spirit, He will take away all sickness. That's divine health, people. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't need to go to the doctor. You won't need to come get delivered. And I will afflict you and afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on them that hate you. And oh, the Lord will send the hornet among you, among them, and those who are left can hide themselves till they are destroyed. And they shall be terrified of them, for the Lord your God is great and awesome, and the Lord will drive out the nations before you little by little. But then it says on 25, you shall burn. They have that carved images with fire of their God, the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, and you shall not take it to yourself, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. But you don't take the gold on their idols. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be accursed like it. But you shall utterly destroy it and abhor it, for it's an accursed thing. I can show you elsewhere, when you do abominations, you become an abomination. You bring an accursed thing into your house, and you're cursed like it, doomed to destruction. Well, and so let's go back over to 27 now. Now, they just, what are some of the things you're not supposed to do? Well, you're not supposed to treat your father and mother with contempt, it says here. Not supposed to move the laborer's land off. Not supposed to make the blind wander off the road. You're not supposed to provoke justice. You're not supposed to lie. You're not supposed to lie with your father's wife. That's incest. You're not supposed to lie with an animal. That's bestiality. And you're not supposed to lie with your sister or the daughter. That's incest. Cursed is he who attacks his neighbor secretly. Cursed is he who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. You know who that is? That's the abortionist. That's the abortionist. He takes a bribe to slay an innocent child. Cursed is he who does not conform to all the words of the law, and the people shall say amen. And what are some of the curses? You shan't eat blood. You're not supposed to eat blood or fat. You're not supposed to. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 18. Chapter 17, verse 4. For all the life of the flesh, its blood sustains life. Therefore I say to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all the flesh is in the blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. You know, when the Judaizers came to Antioch and told the new converts, non-Jewish converts, that they had first to become Jews, be circumcised, keep the law of Moses, and then they could become Christians. Paul got rather upset, and they had no small discussion with them, the Bible says, and you can believe that was a foot-stomping, yelling discussion. And they went back down to Jerusalem to talk to the elders and to the apostles. And all the Jews in Jerusalem got together. It's estimated there were 25,000 of them at that time, all the Jews who had become Christians. And the great Judaizer James got the word of prophecy, and he said there were four things that you needed to do to keep from coming under the curse of the law. One is you don't eat blood. Number two, you don't take things that have been offered sacrificed to idols. Number three, you avoid porneia, which means sexual immorality. It is the base word from which we get pornography. Now, if you want to know what it means, just think of pornography from the beer ads out here, who has that good-looking woman and a little skinny thing with a can of beer saying, if you drink Coors, you get one of these. All the way down to the basest thing you can think of bestiality. That's what porneia means. It also means idolatry. And the last thing is that you shall not eat meat strangled. That meat still got the blood in it. But God feels very strongly about blood. Jesus poured out his soul unto death. What did he pour out? He poured out his blood. Okay. So you don't eat blood. And sexual sins, incest. You read chapter 18, it lists all the sexual sins. You don't lie with a woman during a menstrual period. You don't lie with any of your relatives. If you do this, these are abominable acts before God, and the land will vomit you out. You become an abomination before God. And so let's look at the curses. I'm going back to Deuteronomy 28 now. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully and do all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God set you on high above all nations, and all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Man, if you walk in the Spirit, you can't eat. You don't have to go out looking for God's blessings. They're going to come down the road and overtake you. You can't get away from them. God will bless you coming. He'll bless you going.
Blessed you shall be in the city and in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. That means your business. They had mostly an agrarian economy then, so they speak in agrarian terms. But now they talk about your business. That's your business. Blessed shall be your basket, your kneeling bowl. That's your home, the food in your house. Blessed you shall be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven. The Lord shall command a blessing on you and on your storehouses and all that you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. And it goes on for 14 verses. And then it says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey. And then it starts into the curses which go to verse 68. 14 verses of blessings, 54 verses of curses. And I mean this thing covers you from one end to the other and leaves you in absolute poverty. And I want you to read over here on verse 48. He says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart, of gratitude for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and need of all things, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he's destroyed you. Now, that is a perfect description of poverty. Hungry, thirsty, naked, and in need of all things. And you've got the yoke of iron yoke bearing you down. Now, that's poverty, people. And you will serve your enemies in poverty. The law of God will break you. Now, where in the Word of God does it say we have to repent of the sins of our ancestors? Let's look at Leviticus 27. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, verse 40, Leviticus 26:40. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness, which they've committed unfaithful to me and they've walked contrary to me, God says, if you go on and read it, God says, I will forgive them. Now, Daniel, in chapter 9 of verse 20 of Daniel, he said, while I was praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, and presenting my supplication before the Lord on the holy mountain, an angel Gabriel came to visit him. And so, now let's look at one other place now, on the sins of the Father. Let's look at Lamentations. Lamentation comes right before Ezekiel. Let's look at Lamentation chapter 5. And here we start with verse... Here, Jeremiah is sitting and looking at the destroyed city of Jerusalem, and he's been weeping over it. And he writes this beautiful series of poems. In chapter 5, verse 7, he says, our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us, and there's none deliver us from their hand. That's bondage. When servants are ruling over you, that's bondage. So one of the results of the sins of the fathers is you will be delivered into bondage. You will serve people that you don't want to serve. You will serve things that you don't want to serve. There is a spirit of bondage. And remember that the poet said that iron stone walls and iron bars do not a prison make. You can be put into prison and held in a prison without being in jail. The demon can hold you in bondage and hold you in prison. Okay. There's none. We get bread at the risk of our lives. Poverty. And so they have poverty. They have bondage and poverty. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. That's infirmity spirits. Now, I once went through for Brother Glenn and wrote down in Deuteronomy 28 every infirmity spirit, every disease. And it covered all of the disease systems. It covers all the main systems of the body. You get infirmities. The infirmity spirits come down through the family line. A heathen told me that once in 1961 when I was in medicine. And we were talking about heart attacks and strokes and high blood pressure. And he said, Bill, that's what the Bible means when it says the sins of the fathers are perpetrated onto the sons for the third and the fourth generation. This man didn't believe in God. But that's what he told me. And it means just that. My father had allergies. I was afflicted with allergies. God graciously delivered me 20 years ago. I used to, before I would leave town, I had a suitcase full of medicine I took. I had a briefcase. And in it, I had everything I needed in case I had an asthma attack. My face was swollen out from taking so much cortisone. I had about 6 episodes of pneumonia a year, 5 or 6. I stayed on antibiotics all the time. And I was gradually getting worse. And I got saved, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I kept on taking medicine. And I went to Denton Stadium to a Catholic Charismatic, and I was in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and we had a bunch of spirit-filled people who were really saved. And we went down, and a Catholic priest named Francis McNutt said, how many of y'all got allergies? And I held up my hand, you know, me and 500 other folks. And he said, all y'all stand up. And he didn't pray 3 minutes. He said a very simple prayer, and God reached down from heaven, touched me. He touched me. I knew I'd been touched. There wasn't any doubt in my mind that I'd been healed. I knew. And he said, don't do anything foolish now. If you think you've been healed, go see your doctor. Don't throw your medicine on. I threw all mine in the trash can. I threw it in a trash can. I went back to the motel, and I dumped it all in the trash can, scared my poor wife to death. And I looked at my face in the mirror, and all the cushionoid, all the swelling from the cortisone had disappeared. And I said before God, I thank you for healing me, Lord. I'm healed, and I'm going to walk in healing. Now, I'd like to say that I never had another symptom, but that's not quite true. You have to stand sometimes. And sometimes you come to the point where you can't bind anymore. You just say, I trust you, Lord Jesus. I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I remember my poor wife. I was raised at 103 fever. And I was sick and I was coughing. And she kept saying, you got pneumonia. Call the doctor. And I said, I'm fine. Nothing wrong with me. I absolutely refuse to accept this. And I was standing in faith, and she was calling all my charismatic friends who came out to pray for me and prophesy over me that I was supposed to be on antibiotics. I got 7 people came out and prayed for me and prophesied to me that I was supposed to be on antibiotics. I thanked them very graciously. And the third day, God spoke to me, and he healed me. I've never been sick since. I've never been sick since. Now, I say this to you. I don't recommend that you do this unless you've been touched by God and he tells you to walk this way. He told me to walk this way. I walk that way. I don't recommend it to you. I don't like testifying on it about it because I'm afraid someone will misunderstand and will walk out in presumption that has not been touched by God. That's all I can say. I read where this child died of diabetes because his parents withheld insulin and they were waiting on him to be healed. And now they're waiting on him to be resurrected from the dead. And I just say, oh God, God was so far from that situation. He was so far from that situation. They presumption is all I can say. And so I say to you, I with hesitancy, I don't testify this very often. I've never said this on tape before because I don't want anybody to hear what I'm saying and say, that's what I'm going to do, and God hasn't told them to. The Spirit has not touched them. Remember that the letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. So, infirmity spirits come down through the family line. My father had hay fever. His father before him, his mother had hay fever. His grandfather had hay fever. My father was an alcoholic. I wouldn't touch a drop of whiskey for all the tea in China. Because, first place, since I got saved, I haven't. I take that back. When my marriage died, I backslid a little bit. I began drinking again. About the second day, I was sitting in there listening to Derek French tapes on. I was listening, had the earphones on, listening to Derek French tapes, drinking beer. And it just didn't bother me at all that my wife was very unhappy with me. And I put the beer can down, and God spoke to me in an audible voice. And he said, you're going to hide in the bottom of a whiskey bottle the rest of your life like your daddy did? I was cold stone sober, people. I poured the rest of it out, and I have never touched it again. And I never will. And I asked God to forgive me for backsliding. Fermented spirits, alcoholism, high blood pressure, strokes, cancer, arthritis come down through the family line. Sins of witchcraft come down through the family line. Sins of homosexuality, lesbian spirits, homosexual spirits, flasher spirits, exhibitionist spirits, all types of perverted sex spirits come down through the family line, through the sins of the fathers. Let's go on here. It says, verse 11 says, they ravished the women in Zion and the maidens in the cities of Judah. There comes rape. Rape is a spirit. Rape is a spirit in the man, and it goes into the woman. Woman's been raped, she needs to be delivered from the spirit of rape. If a woman's been raped, the chances of her being raped a second time are much improved, greatly improved. The theoretical situation, I'll give you a scenario. Young lady is at two people coming out. The rapist is hiding in the parking lot at the grocery store. And there are two ladies coming out. And suddenly one of them remembers something she was supposed to get, and she turns and she goes back in, and she gets in there, and she doesn't know why. This other lady's got in her car and driven off, and she doesn't know why she still came back in, and she's just confused. And she walks back out, and the rapist is waiting on her. That's the one who's got the spirit of rape in her. Because the spirit of rape in the rapist has communicated with the spirit of rape in the woman and has distracted her to set her up. That's the way it works. You need to be delivered from that spirit of rape. Okay. Princes were hung up by their hands and elders were not respected. That's abuse. Did you know that child beaters go in families? Child molestation goes in families, runs through families. Incest runs through families. Child abuse runs in families. People who have rage spirits and intimidate people. Wife beaters run in families. Sins of the fathers. Young men grind at the millstone and boys stagger under heavy loads. That's poverty and hard work. Condemned to be menial. Doing menial. There's nothing wrong with hard labor. There's nothing wrong with honest work. But man, it's terrible if you are condemned and your children and your children's children are condemned to be the water carriers and the woodcutters the rest of your life, forever. That's all you can look forward to is toting 30 gallons of water up that hill day after day after day after day. Elders have ceased gathering at the gate and the young men for their music. Isolation, spirit of rejection, a spirit of not being wanted, not being loved. Fellowship is taken away. It's a spirit of isolation. Spirit of rejection has come into these people. The joy of our heart has ceased and our dance has turned to mourning. Sadness and heaviness, depression. We gave us the spirit of the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Mental illness, depression runs in families. Pessimism. How many of you people ever raised in a pessimistic family? Things weren't going wrong. You were scared because if everything was going right, you wondered when things were going to go wrong again. Or what could happen? Huh? That's the spirit. Comes down through the sins of the fathers. The crown has fallen from my head. Woe to us, we've sinned. So they've fallen. Because of this, our heart faints. Faint-hearted. Scared. Fear, timidity. Because these things, our eyes grow dim. They're going blind. Blindness. Because of Mount Zion is desolate with foxes on it, and you have desolation. Those are the sins. that have come down through those are the spirits that will move into your life from the sins of your fathers. You say, Lord, that don't seem right. But you know God made a way. God made a way. He said, let's look first at Galatians. Jesus bore all of our infirmities and all of our sorrows, all of our sickness and all of our pain. But he bore something else too. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the heathen in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Christ bore the curse of the law for you. Now let's look back over to Isaiah 53. Now, some people will tell you, and I hope I don't step on anybody's doctrinal toes here, but, you know, as I told the men's group today, 53, I told the men's group today that we should have unity in the essential things. And the essential things is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh, that he died on the cross and shed his blood for our sin and sins. He was dead, buried, and resurrected on the third day for our justification. That's very important that you see people who do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ have a very difficult time ever believing their sins are forgiven. They never can come to faith. He died for your justification that you might be declared not guilty and righteous before God. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for you. Now, those are essential things, and we have to have unity in those. That's the gospel. And non-essential things, we need to have a little liberty. And in everything, we should have charity and love. Now, there are people who will tell you that when Jesus died, he bore your cross, the curse, and the curse was automatically broken. That's what he said. That's what they say. Well, let's look at this. Let's look at Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, griefs is sickness and sorrow is pain. In the Scandinavian Bible, sorrows is always translated schmel, which means pain. Griefs are illnesses. And Matthew 8 translates it, illnesses or infirmities. Jesus carried all of your infirmities and all of your pain. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your shalom was placed upon him. He said, I came that you might have shalom. My shalom I give unto you. Now, what is shalom? It's more than peace. It's salvation. It is prosperity. It is healing and good health and serenity. That's what it means in the Hebrew. All those things. Get your Amplified out and read what it says about shalom. And Jesus bore the chastisement of your shalom. He said, I came that you might have shalom. All these things. And by his stripes, you're healed. He said, well, if that's all automatic, how come we got sick folks? He said, he bore your poverty so that you might be rich. How come we got folks that aren't prospering quite so well if it's all automatic? It's not automatic. It has to be claimed in faith. And you have to work it out according to the anointing and the Spirit of God. And so you need to break the curse. You just need to break it. You need to claim it. Just like you claim your salvation, just like you claim your healing, just like you claim your deliverance from pain. Brother Banks was up here, and he proclaimed the gospel, and people were delivered from pain. He claimed that promise of the gospel. And people were delivered from pain, healed. If it was automatic, they wouldn't have had to come up there. You've got to break the curse, people. When does the curse stop? Let's look at Revelation chapter 22. Last chapter of the book. And he showed me a pure river of water of life as clear as crystal proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street, and on either side of the street, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, and each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. When you get to the holy city of the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem, there will be no more curse. When you come into the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit, there will be no more curse. Let's look at Numbers. This is foretold by Balaam the prophet in Numbers 23. Balaam the prophet got up and he says, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. As he has said, will he not do it? As he has spoken it, will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He's blessed, and I cannot resist him. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. The shout of the king is among him. God brings him out of Egypt. He has the strength of a wild horse. There is no sorcery against Jacob, nor no divination against Israel. No enchantment, no curse against Israel, the Israel of God. When you walk in the Spirit, and not in the flesh. Let's look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 17. And here he's talking about the reborn, the redeemed Israel. And he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall refute or condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. Now he's talking about those whose righteousness is from Jesus Christ. Your heritage is that you can refute the curse. You can refute any tongue that rises against you in condemnation. You can say, I refuse to accept that in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We've moved a little away from the curses of the fathers here, and now we're talking about curses spoken against you from other sources, but I tell you that I can talk another 2 hours about curses and the various sources and give you scripture for it, but I just want to discuss today the curses of the fathers and let you know and should establish a firm biblical base so that you can repent of the sins of your ancestors and you can break the curses and command these things to leave your life. And you can look at the illnesses that your parents suffered and your grandparents suffered and your aunts and your uncles. You can look at the infirmities that afflict them. You can look at the demons that torment them and you say, they will not torment me and my children because we are not under the curse of the law. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the curse of the law. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you to, I'm spending a lot of time going over all this because I want it to be firmly fixed that it's in the Word of God. It's Scripture. It's there. I remember one person said, well, I don't believe my God would do that. And if this way he's going to be, he ain't going to be my God. And I said to him, I quoted Brother Win Worley. I said, well, fine. Why don't you just go over in the corner and eat worms then? Because it really doesn't make any difference what you think. He is still God. And you will either bow your knee to him or you will serve the evil one. It really doesn't matter what you think. You will not change the Word of God. The Word of God will break you. And it is set forever in heaven. And the liberal theologians will tell you that this contains the Word of God. I said, well, and I spoke a name, if it just contains the Word of God, how do you know what is the Word of God and what isn't? She said, that's what we go to school to find out. We spend 4 years in seminary, therefore we can tell you what is the Word of God and what isn't. I said, in other words, you can make it mean anything you want to. And she and I crossed swords a little bit occasionally. But I have not been able, and you know, she knew Jesus Christ at one time. She knew Jesus at one time. But she has has a spirit of intellectualism. And the intellectual spirit has brought her into bondage, has hardened her heart, brought her into bondage, has closed her eyes that she cannot see the truth, has closed her ears that she cannot hear it. A deceiving spirit like that, a religious deceiving spirit, you can argue with one of those people until you're blue in the face, and you will not change them. All you can do is pray and ask God to touch them. And that when God touches them, they will accept the spirit, the spirit of repentance, and turn and walk away from it. I remember we had a situation. I have to be very careful on tape. But we had this situation that I was involved in where this person was trying to control this body through witchcraft. And this person had at one time moved in the spirit of prophecy, but had moved out of this spirit of prophecy into a familiar spirit. And when I saw it, I warned the people. But since she had supernatural manifestations and moved supernaturally, they said it had to be God. It had to be the spirit. Well, it wasn't the right spirit. But when the hammer came down and it was obvious she had Jezebel, we gathered together and confronted her. She had a large following within this group. Gathered together and confronted her. And she acknowledged that we were right. She asked forgiveness. She wept. She got home and the demon said, "You're going to lose your ministry. They made a fool out of you. They put witchcraft on you. You're going to lose your ministry. Why, you won't be able to go to this organization anymore, that organization, and you won't be the great prophet in this organization and that organization and this group and that group. And you're just going to lose your ministry and everybody's going to laugh at you." And so the next day she said, "No, they put witchcraft on me." And so she left the group and she took 6 or 8 or 9 people with her. Most people, they asked the pastor, and the pastor was very kind. I wasn't quite so kind. I called it like I saw it. And I said to the men at the men's meeting, "If you allow this lady to lay hands and pray for your wives, all they will receive for her are 2 things, deception and rebellion, because that's where she is. That's all she has that she can give out, deception and rebellion." And I wept for her. I still pray for her every day. I wept for her, and God gave me a vision of what was going to happen. She's dying of cancer. Her daughters are whores. And her husband is in an unfaithful condition. He's committing adultery. This I all saw in the vision. I just wept over it. I wept over it. And I still weep over it. And, gentlemen, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, pray for people in deception. Only God can touch them. But they have to accept the spirit of repentance when it comes. They have to be willing to pay the price. If they're not, then there's another price that's real high, but they don't see it until it's too late. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You want to know how you have a curse in your family? Derek Prince says that, symptoms of a curse in your life, I borrowed these from Derek Prince. He says, mental or emotional breakdown, repeated chronic illnesses, especially hereditary illnesses, barrenness or a tendency to miscarry or related female problems, breakdown of family, of marriage and family alienation, continuing financial insufficiency. When you got a man that's making $100,000 a year, you'd think he wouldn't have financial problems. But here he is, he's spending $150,000. And he's broke. He's in debt. He hadn't paid his taxes. And he's just pyramiding debt. But he's got adequate income. He's under a curse. Being accident phone, history of suicide, untimely death are the 7 things. But thank God there is relief in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's time to stop now. I've talked much longer than I thought I would. It's time to stop now, and everybody stand up and praise God a little bit. Praise the Lord. Everybody praise him a little bit. Can't people praise him? Jump up and down a little bit and get your blood circulating. Hallelujah. You know, it's all your brains and all absorbed what the fanny can endure, and all your blood's down in your feet. Need to get it back up here. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. Let's everybody sit down. I must say to you that I didn't cover all the scriptures that I could have covered. I could have talked another hour and a half about sins of the fathers and given you many more scriptures and described many more curses in the Bible. But I think I've given you a firm basis, and that's what I wanted to do. Now, how many of y'all have never been in a mass deliverance service? Spirits are air. The word spirit means pneumo, like pneumatic tire or pneumonia. It's air or breath or wind. And it generally comes out of the breathing passages. And so you just take a deep breath and let them go. When I call out spirits, don't cherry pick and say, well, I got this one, I ain't got that one, I don't know about that one. Just say, Lord, it is in me, let it come out. And if something happens and you feel something uncomfortable rolling in your stomach, you say, come out. And you say, you set your will against it for it to come out of you. And let it go. Don't push it down. Don't be afraid that you might manifest and embarrass yourself and lose your dignity. But I tell you, you can get your dignity back, but let your demons go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. We have good qualified workers who will work with you. So now we're going to do some renunciation. We're going to renounce the occult, and we renounce fornication and a number of other things. I want you all to repeat after me. Dear Lord,
dear Lord,
with honesty of heart,
humility of soul,
conviction of spirit, do I make the following confession? I've sinned against you. Disobeyed your word. Whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity. I do now repent of all these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors. I've opened to Satan. I ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, spirit, and soul. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the following. The occult, witchcraft and magic, seances and clairvoyance, medians, and Ouija boards, and all other occult games, all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarots, card laying, pendulum, in the name of Jesus. I renounce all astrology and interest in horoscopes and signs of the zodiac. Renounce the heresy of reincarnation. All healing groups involved in metaphysics. Renounce all hypnosis. Mind reading. Mind control. Second sight. ESP. Parapsychology. Renounce water witching and dowsing. Levitation. Body lifting. Table tipping, psychometric and automatic handwriting. I renounce astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, and other demonic skills. I renounce all mind control, power of positive thinking, positive control salesmanship, and the demonic power to impose my will on others. I renounce all sorcery.
Dependence on talismans.
Such as St. Christopher's medals.
Mary medallions.
Good luck charms.
Rabbit's feet.
Four-leaf clovers.
Wishbones.
Portions and aliments.
And vow I will destroy any such in my person under my control.
I vow I will destroy
any idol
to a foreign god,
such as a Buddha,
Mexican sun gods,
signs of the zodiac,
American Indian dolls,
voodoo dolls,
Egyptian anchoras,
pentagrams,
or other abominations
on my person,
under my control.
I renounce
all literature
I've ever read in any of these fields,
and vow I will destroy such books
in my possession.
I will also destroy any objects,
pictures,
signs or statutes,
jewelry or charts,
which are on my person or in my house.
Now, you have to be careful there. If it belongs to you, and under your control. Now, if it's your children's, if you have small children, they have this stuff, then you have a right as head of the household. But if it belongs to someone else, then you can move it out, you can anoint it with oil, curse the demon in it. But if it belongs to somebody else, you don't have a right to destroy somebody else's property. The night I cleaned my house, I had extensive witchcraft library, occult library, that I had accumulated because God had laid this on my heart, and this was the source of my ministry, and I had a tremendous... And one night God convicted me that it was wrong. And so I built a big bonfire down by the river and put them all in my little tractor. I had a little tractor with a dump truck behind it, and I was hauling it down there at 2 o'clock in the morning and throwing them on this huge bonfire, and my neighbor came down and wanted to know if I was drunk. I said, "Bill, are you all right? Are you drunk?" I said, "No, I'm fine. What are you doing? I'm just burning trash." And I burned, and so I went into my son's room, and he had a huge collection of mythology and a lot of old books that he'd accumulated that I didn't have any right to, but they bothered me, and I picked them all up, and I hauled them down, and I burned them. And God convicted me of it, and I paid him $3,000 for the library I burned. I don't know what mine was worth, but I got rid of it, and I got set free. But you don't have the right to burn other people's stuff. And, you know, the laws are... I live sort of out in the country, and I can get away with building a bonfire in my backyard. And after that, we moved out. I moved into on the campus of the military school, and I had a stove out in the back, you know, and I built a little fire in it and throw stuff in it, you know, and people used to bring these things in. And I threw some stuff in it, and flames shot 20 feet up in the air. And my neighbor said, "What's happening over there, Bill?" I said, "Oh, we just having a little cookout, getting the fire ready." He said... So I had a brother who had a house out in the country, and so when we got ready to burn stuff, we took it out there and burned it. You need to obey the law and not burn other people's stuff without their permission. Praise you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ,
I break the following.
I break all curses,
all hexes,
all spells,
all
jinxes,
jexes,
and charms,
and roots
placed on me
from any occult source.
I break the curse of illegitimacy
and incest
10 generations back
on my family line.
I break the curse of idolatry
off of my family line
and renounce any oaths
I or my ancestors
ever made
to any foreign god,
idol,
false cult,
false religion.
I renounce any initiation
right
to any club,
Brotherhood. Lodge.
Fraternity.
Sorority. Or order which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin. I break all demonic subjugation. Demonic soul ties. Of bondages. To my mother. My father. My grandparents. My spouse. My ex-spouses. Or any other human being. Living or dead. Who's ever dominated me. Or controlled me. In any way. Contrary to the will of God. I ask the good Lord to bless those who are still alive. Bless them abundantly, Lord. I forgive them, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to bless them. And I release them to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I break you all curses of psychic heredity. For any demonic hold on my family line as a result of disobedience of any of my ancestors, my spouse, or ex-spouses, in the name of Jesus, I break any curses of physical or mental illness of my family line. I break any curse on me or my family from any occult or demonic origin. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I renounce every cult that denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Every philosophy that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I confess that I have committed sexual sin. I do repent and ask forgiveness. I confess I've committed the following. At this point, I want everybody to look straight ahead. And I want you to, if you have sexual sin in your life, if you lusted after your neighbor's wife, if you watch the TV, the jigglers, if you watch pornography, if you committed adultery, if you committed fornication outside of marriage, or if you committed homosexual acts, I want you to confess them very quietly under your breath. Just look straight ahead. You don't have to worry about what your neighbor's confessing. He's not interested in you. You shouldn't be interested in him. But you need to confess them out loud to God, quietly under your breath, but they need to hit the sound waves. Because the spirit of repentance is here to turn you from them. But you need to confess them before God and claim cleansing. And I claim cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I notify you, I am reclaiming all these areas that I previously yielded to you. I close these doors forever. I claim freedom from sexual sin and lust. And I bind you in your host. Command you to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, I have another confession to make. I've not loved, but I've resented certain people. I confess this is sin. And I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive anybody that you ever has ever hurt you, anybody that you've got resentment against, that's hurt you,
you need to forgive now. Anybody that God brings to mind, you need to very quietly say, I forgive, and turn them to, and release them to God. Release them. Just release them. You say, but they've ruined 20 years of my life. Well, you want them to ruin the rest of it? You don't forgive them, they will. You turn them loose and release them to God. Let Jesus handle them. He can handle them. He can handle them. Ask God to bless them and bring them to salvation. I do now forgive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I do now forgive myself. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Very important that you forgive yourself. And let the if only spirit go. That spirit that keeps saying, if only you'd done this, it wouldn't have happened. If only you'd done that, it wouldn't have happened. Only you said this. Let the if only go. Let it go. Say, if only spirit. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. I bind you and command you to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, your word says that anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I do now call on you. In the name of Jesus, leave me. I bind you, and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, everybody put both feet on the floor in front of them. In the name of Jesus, I bind all the spirits of rejection. These are God's people. Devil, you turn them loose. I bind the spirit of rejection, rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by friends. I bind all rejection, and I command it to leave God's people right now. Go, for they have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. These are God's people. They have been accepted in the Beloved. And rejection, you've got to go in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I command you to leave God's people right now. Go, rejection. All rejection, I bind you and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. All fear, fear of being rejected, fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not caring, in the name of Jesus, that nobody loves me. I bind you in the name of Jesus. All fear, all legion fear, fear all around, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Go, go, fear, fear, all fear, fear all around, legion fear, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone, all fear, in the name of Jesus. I bind you, all lust, lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Go. All sexual lust. All lust after things. Lust after power. Lust after prestige. Lust after money in the name of Jesus. All lust be gone. All sexual lust. I bind all the lesbian spirits, all the homosexual spirits, all the whoremonger spirits. I bind the spirit of the whore that came down through the family line. I bind the whoremongering spirit in the name of Jesus, all the whore spirits. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All whoring spirits, all idolatry spirits in the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to leave God's people. All bondage, bondage to the past, bondage to alcohol, bondage to tobacco, bondage to cigarettes in the name of Jesus. All bondage, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus was made a curse that we could be delivered from the curse of bondage, of the fear of bondage, the fear of death in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. All of you, bondage, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, bondage to fear, go, go in the name of Jesus. I bind you, fear. I bind you. I speak to the occult in the name of Jesus. All familiar spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All spirits, familiar spirits in the name of Jesus, I bind you and I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. Hallelujah. People, I want all of you to say, dear Lord, I renounce any familiar spirits that come down through my family line. In the name of Jesus, I bind them. And I want them to leave me now. And never come back. On me. On my lineal descendants. Forever.
In the name of Jesus,
I reject
any mantle of authority that has come down through these familiar spirits. I don't want it in my life. I command it to leave me. All demonic power be gone. Never return. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Leave me and my children forever. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. All of you, get out of here. All familiar spirits, go. All mantle of authority, leave in the name of Jesus. All the occult, go, go, go. All the occult, go in the name of Jesus. Go. All necromancy spirits, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All worship of idols, go in the name of Jesus. I break your authority over these people in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of necromancy, worship of the dead, go in the name of Jesus. All dependence on aliments and talisman, go. All sorcery, go. All witchcraft, go. In the name of Jesus, we bind sorcery and witchcraft in the name of Jesus. We bind all rock music. We bind all Dungeons and Dragons in the name of Jesus. We bind all occult games, all our horoscope spirits. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Pornography spirits, lust spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All television watching spirits, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All jiggler spirits, go. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I command you to leave. Leave God's people. Go. Go. I speak to the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. I bind the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pull it out. I pull out the knife of betrayal out of their back. And I pull the root of bitterness out. And I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of deep hurt. Deep hurt be gone in the name of Jesus. Deep hurt. Distrust. Distrust of father, distrust of mother, distrust of husband, distrust of friend, distrust of men. All fear of men go in the name of Jesus Christ. All sexual frigidity go in the name of Jesus. We bind sexual frigidity in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. All perverse spirits go in the name of Jesus. Go, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. We bind all second sight in the name of Jesus. We bind all double-mindedness, all spirits of schizophrenia in the name of Jesus. All spirits of pride, we bind the spirit of Leviathan in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, Leviathan, in the name of Jesus, we bind you. We bind you in the name of Jesus. Go! 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Drive them out, Lord God. Drive out all the occult, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Drive out all the occult. Drive out all the Lamar spirits in the name of Jesus. All the Hindu spirits in the name of Jesus. All spirits of Lamars, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All yoga spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of the martial arts, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All Taekwondo, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in the night and command you to leave God's people in the name of Jesus. Go! 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 I bind all infirmity spirits. I bind all the spirits of migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of migraine headaches, I bind you and I command you to leave. I bind all spirits of encephalitis in the name of Jesus. All spirits of brain damage. All spirits of stroke in the name of Jesus. Go! Go! All spirits of meningitis. All scar tissue. All bleeding into the brain in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Come out! Come out in the name of Jesus. All ADD in the name of Jesus. Come out. All learning disabilities. Come out in the name of Jesus. We bind you. We bind you in the name of Jesus. All ADD. Come out. All spirits of mental illness, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of schizophrenia, all spirits of manic depressive, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave God's people. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. I speak to all deafness, all tinnitus in the name of Jesus. All spirits of tinnitus in the name of Jesus. All spirits of vertigo. All spirits of ringing in the ears. All spirits of deafness in the name of Jesus. All Meniere syndrome, I bind you and command you to leave God's people. I speak to all sinus problems, all allergies in the name of Jesus. All congestion, all blindness, all glaucoma. All spirits of
macular degeneration in the name of Jesus. All blindness. I bind you. All cataracts. I bind you. I command you to leave in God's people. Go. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. I bind all esophagitis in the name of Jesus Christ. All gastritis. All duodenal ulcers. All Crohn's disease, all enteritis, all colitis in the name of Jesus Christ, all diabetes in the name of Jesus, I bind you. I bind you. All hepatitis in the name of Jesus, I bind you. I command you to leave God's people in the name of Jesus. All nephritis, all spirits of nephritis in the name of Jesus, I command you to be gone. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. 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 All spirits of kidney failure in the name of Jesus. Pyelonephritis, pyelitis, cystitis in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Go. Go. All female problems. Go. All menorrhagia in the name of Jesus. Go. All spirits of menorrhagia in the name of Jesus. All fibroid tumors. I curse you to your roots and command that you dry up in the name of Jesus. All vaginitis, cystitis in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 Go, 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 in the name of Jesus, go. All prostatitis, urethritis, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All arthritis, I bind arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. I command arthritis to be gone in the name of Jesus. I command all myositis to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise you and bless you and glorify you. Mucoviscidosis. I bind mucoviscidosis. I bind bronchitis. I bind pneumonia. I bind heart trouble. I bind high blood pressure in the name of Jesus. I bind strokes in the name of Jesus. I bind heart attacks in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. All claudication. Go. All spirits of claudication in the muscles. Go. Praise you, Lord. All peripheral neuritis, go. All neuritis, go. Polyneuritis, go in the name of Jesus. Go. I speak healing and restitution. Jesus bore all our infirmities and all our sorrows and all of our sickness and all of our pains. And by His stripes we've been healed. I release the healing balm of Gilead, the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Praise your name. Praise you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, just fill these vessels, Lord God. Lord, I release your anointing to come down now, Lord God. The healing balm of Gilead, Lord God. Lord, let your anointing come down.
Come down, Lord Jesus. Just come down, Lord. Let your anointing come down. Hallelujah, Lord God. Fill each vessel, Lord, with the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear of the Lord. Fill them full of the fear of the Lord. Fill them, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Now I speak to you, devil, and I say to you that this word is fallen on good soil, and you shall not steal it. But it shall bear crop 30, 60, or 100-fold in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.